In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we find, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life." It's good to see everyone here this morning. As I mentioned in class, I want us to spend a few minutes this morning looking at the Christian's view of death. I think this is appropriate with the passing of our sister. And I hadn't said anything to Jim. I did ask him to lead the invitation song, but the songs that he had tied in with the lesson. And as he said, we don't know how long we are going to be here. As a child of God, we can have a different outlook, though, than those in the world. I want us to consider these words before we get into the other text. "My latest sun is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumph is begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. I know I'm near the holy ranks of friends and kindred dear. I hear the waves on Jordan's banks. The crossing must be near. I've almost reached my heavenly home. My spirit loudly sings. Your holy ones, behold, they come. I hear the noise of the wings. Oh, bear my longing heart to him who bled and died for me, whose love now covers all my sin and gives me victory." Friend, the Bible has much to say about death. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." When someone dies, it is a sad occasion. It is a loss. Where do we go for comfort? We need to go to God. He is called the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. God is the one who can comfort us in our tribulation. Psalm 46, beginning at verse 1, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling." You think about the power of God. He's our refuge, our strength. When we have troubles in our life, God is the one to turn to. And Job 19:25, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me." You think about the words that Job spoke. "I know that my Redeemer lives." Christ, our Redeemer, that came and died for us. And that grave couldn't hold him. He lives. There are so many songs we sing about that. And Job, "After my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God." And you think about Moses and the desire that Moses, he wanted to see God face to face. And Job says, "Whom I shall see for my eye, for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. how my heart yearns within me. Friends, have you thought about when we will be in God's presence one day and can look on His face? Is that something we are looking forward to? Or do we even not think about that during the week? We were talking about in class, it's all about me, me, me. Do we stop and think about that time that if we live faithfully here, that we will be in the presence of God? And does our heart yearn to be there? Well, when we think about death is an unknown to us. None of us here, goes without saying, have died. But we do know some things about death because of what God has revealed to us in His Word. So one of the first things we need to consider is that death is an appointment. Hebrews 9:27, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." It should be a pleasure for a Christian to keep this appointment. There are some appointments that I don't look forward to. Some doctor's appointments, sometimes some procedures that I have to have done. Maybe it's an appointment with someone I would rather avoid. But as a Christian, this is an appointment that we should all look forward to. And death, it's not something that just happens. It's not something that's unforeseen. It's something that God plans. He plans for us to die. We have an appointment with God. That's the only way we are going to meet that appointment, unless Christ comes back first, is for us to die. And when we think about appointments, I have two or three calendars on my desk. We have a calendar in the kitchen. We probably have another one somewhere floating around. And I make appointments. Carol makes appointments. And we have to check the different calendars. And sometimes we have to change appointments. Sometimes we cancel appointments. Friends, it's not going to be that way with this appointment. We can't change it. We can't cancel it. It's an appointment with God. This is one appointment that we will not miss. Well, we also learn from God's Word that death is a departure. 2 Timothy chapter 4. "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who love His appearing." We see that death is a departure. It's a departure from time to eternity. I see that clock back there on the wall. When I die, time is going to be no more. It's going to be a departure from time to eternity where it is endless. It's going to be a departure from this earth to heaven. It's going to be a departure from fading, corruptible beauty to eternal, incorruptible beauty. You think about, you see some sights and come look at the sky and look at this and look at that and it's beautiful. It's all passing away. It's fading. But we learn that when we die, we depart from here, we're going to go to that eternal beauty. It's a departure from darkness to light. God is going to be our light. It's a departure from mortality to immortality. So death is a departure. And Paul talks about his departure being at hand. It is near. The time of my departure is at hand. And when you think about this, we think about the day, we might think about an airport, and you go to an airport and you see those big screens and they have departure times. And you want to see if what it has on your ticket matches what that departure time says on the screen. Again, we don't know what our departure time is going to be. Well, Paul wouldn't have been used to our airports, but he traveled on ships. And he can relate to that time of departure is at hand. You are traveling on a ship. You loose that rope. You set sail from that harbor. You're going to a place that you can't see. And that's what our departure from here going to heaven is. Being poured out as a drink offering, the time of my departure is at hand. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness. And it's not just for me, but also to all who love his appearing. Other places he talks about this tabernacle that we are in. And we'll get to that in a minute. But also, when we see this departure, death is a departure from the body. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. And when you stop and consider it, death is in the best interest of man. We don't like to think about death. We don't like to think about dying. But when our spirit returns back to God, that's only going to happen when we die. And we want to be with God. These bodies that we are in now are not adapted to heaven. This is flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 15:50. He'll give us a new body like his own. All of us here have aches and pains, and we know our body is wearing out and running down, but one day we'll have that new body in heaven. Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven, for which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. A new body. Well, we also learn from the scripture that not only is death an appointment, it's a departure, but it's a release. In 2 Corinthians 5:1, for we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. So in this, again, we see a description of this earthly house, and what is it referred to? It's referred to as a tent. Something that is temporary. It's temporary. When you think about a tent, what do? You take tent pegs and you drive them down into the ground. Then when you get ready to move on, you pull up those pegs and you move on. And the lesson there for us, we should not drive our tent pegs, our interest in this world, too deep. You see, some people, they are just so wrapped up in this world, they think they're going to live forever. But that's not what the Bible says. That's not the way it's going to be. So death is a release. And it's a release from sin, from sorrow, from sickness, from distress, from disappointment. It's a release from this tabernacle of clay to an immortal body. Well, we also learn from God's word that death is a rest. Revelation 14:13. Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. From now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. We live in a restless age. People are busy being busy, wanting to go here, wanting to go there. You see people, we have the term workaholic. They want to work all the time. Some people aren't able to rest. If they didn't have a job to do, they just aren't able to rest. They're always looking, searching for something. And then when you think about this rest also, you can think of it in terms of working for the Lord and then fighting Satan. We're in this battle. We're busy working in the vineyard, but we're busy fighting Satan. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Lord, the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. You think about this rest. We are in a battle. And if we don't realize that we are in a battle, Satan probably has a good hold on us. But friends, when we die, when we leave this land, this world, and we go to heaven, we aren't going to have to battle Satan. There's not going to be any sin there. There's not going to be any temptation. And that will be such a rest. This rest, some people think of this rest being when we get to heaven, it's just going to be relaxing, doing nothing, or doing what we like to do. No, heaven is a place of activity. It's a place of service and worship, and we're going to be praising God, like when we read in Revelation of that innumerable host around the throne, singing praises to Him all the time. And why? Because He's worthy. So we're going to be busy, but this rest is, we're going to rest from having to battle Satan. The battle is won. It was won on the cross. And then we're going to have a reward. And we won't have to be in that battle anymore. So death is an appointment. It's a departure. It's a release. It's a rest. And it's a going home. In John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Friends, where do you consider your home? Do we think of heaven being our home? Or again, are we in love with this world so much that we don't stop and think about that? 2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I also trust are well known in your consciences. The people that talk about God is love, God is just this great energy of love, They don't like to know about this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. God is love, but he's also a God of justice. And because he is a God of terror, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Again, Paul saw himself as a debtor to preach the gospel. We want to be pleasing to God. The wise man says in Ecclesiastes 7:2, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. When you go to a party, a festive occasion, you usually don't think of too many serious thoughts. You just think of having a good time. What else is there to eat? What else can I do? What else can I get here? You don't think about too many serious thoughts. But when we go to a funeral home, when we see a casket, when we see crying people, we're going to take that to heart. And we should. Because that's going to be one of us laying there one day. And what has our life for Christ, what will it teach others? So when we come to an occasion like that, we mourn for the loss of a loved one that has happened. We take it to heart, but we also want to comfort each other. Because as children of God, and God is the God of all comforts, we need to comfort one another. But we also understand that God is the one that can understand having someone die. When I think about relatives that have died, even though they're relatives, you know, I had no choice which family I was born into. It's just, we're family. But God, you think about that relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And what did God do, as we talked about in class this morning? He had this plan. He knew that man was going to sin. God the Father wanted his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to leave heaven, to come down to this world, and to die on the cross for our sins. And how, when we think about our children, how could we even think about letting one of our children go through something like that? And sometimes people will say, you know, they'll have a death in the family and they'll say, why did God allow my child to die? Well, friends, do we stop and think God allowed his child, Jesus Christ the Son, to die for something that we did? And we need to take it to heart. Death is certain. Death is certain. Something else that is certain is seeing angels. And when you think about some things that the Bible says about angels, one of them that comes to mind, 2 Thessalonians 1:7. And you know, when you hear people talk about angels, they have angels come and talk to them, or this angel appeared to them, or it's this real beautiful, nice angel. But in 2 Thessalonians 1:7, Paul writes, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire." And what are they going to be doing? Taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now that's horrifying. That's horrifying to see an angel if we are outside of Christ, because those are going to be coming in flaming fire. But we have another occasion where we read about angels. And that's recorded in Luke chapter 16. And in Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, there is a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there is a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was the beggar died, and what does it say about the beggar when he died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom? We are going to be escorted into paradise by angels. And what about the rich man? The rich man also died and was buried. That was the end. Friends, death is certain. When we die in Christ, it's going to be a glorious, blessed occasion. Revelation 14, 13, then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. John 5, 25, most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Friends, death is certain. It's going to happen to us. The judgment is certain. What is the variable in all of this? The variable is if we are obedient to God or if we are not. The variable is, have we prepared? We know it's going to happen. We just don't know when. We know we cannot miss this appointment. We cannot postpone it. We cannot change it. It's an appointment that all of us are going to keep. My latest son is sinking fast. Oh, bear my longing heart to him who bled and died for me, whose love now covers all my sin and gives me victory. Friends, I pray that all of us here this morning are ready. Ready if the Lord returns. Ready if we were to die this very day. If we are not, we need to make ourselves ready. Friends, if there's anyone that needs to respond to the gospel this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.